shimmering shafts of colored light. Studio Canal. Palm trees at the edge of dense tropical jungle. Dome-fronted helicopters swirl yellow dust as they swoop past.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Fireballs of napalm engulf the trees.
This is the end, my only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The end of everything that stands. The end, no safety.
The flaming tree line and helicopters give way to the face of Captain Benjamin L. Willard, a ruggedly handsome man in his early 30s, unshaven, glistening with sweat, as he looks up at a ceiling fan rotating above his head. As Willard draws on a joint, the face of a Buddha statue fades over the flaming trees. Choppers circle the trees, while Willard lies bare-chested on the bed. Willard's personal effects lie strewn across the bedside table. Airmail letters, a photo of a smiling young woman, cigarettes, a lighter, a spoon, and a glass beside a bottle of brandy.
Lost in a roaming wilderness of pain.
Willard's eyes close.
And all the children are insane.
His semi-automatic pistol juts out between the pillows beside him.
Older children are insane. Waiting for the sunlight.
Willard's eyes open and drift from the ceiling fan towards the shafts of sunlight through the closed slatted blinds. Willard rises to the window and peers through the blinds at the traffic on the boulevard below.
Saigon. Shit. I'm still only in Saigon.
He takes a swig of brandy.
Every time I think I'm gonna wake up back in the jungle. When I was home after my first tour, it was worse. I'd wake up and it'd be nothing.
Will- Willard picks up the photo from the bedside table.
I hardly said a word to my wife until I said yes to a divorce. When I was here, I wanted to be there. When I was there, all I could think of was getting back into the jungle.
Willard knocks back the rest of the liquor in his glass.
I'm here a week now. Waiting for a mission. Getting softer.
Willard sits cross-legged on the floor, hunched over.
Every minute I stay in this room, I get weaker. And every minute Charlie squats in the bush, he gets stronger. Each time I looked around, the walls moved in a little tighter.
Stripped to his underpants, Willard stands beside his bed, his arms extended in slow, trance-like movements. Willard's movements shift from the measured, fluid grace of Tai Chi to more erratic convulsions. He draws his elbows in against his lean flanks, his palms turned up towards his face, his head lolling back. Crouching, he thrusts his clenched fist forward, then turns and punches the mirror. Willard rolls forward across his bed, streaking blood across the white sheets. Slumping to the floor, he looks down at his gashed hand. Blood oozes through his fingers as he clenches his fist. Willard stands, placing his face into his palm, smearing his visage crimson with blood. He drains the liquor bottle into his gaping mouth. Naked now, he slumps to the floor with a grimace of anguish. Day. Two young men in military fatigues climb the gloomy wooden staircase to Willard's room.
Everyone gets everything he wants. I wanted a mission. And for my sins, they gave me one. Brought it up to me like room service.
Captain Willard, are you in there?
Yeah.
It was a real choice mission. And when it was over, I'd never want another.
Willard answers the door naked, wrapped in the bloody sheet.
What do you want?
Are you all right, Captain?
What does it look like?
The fresh-faced blonde officer follows as Willard turns his naked backside to the door.
Are you Captain Willard? 505th Battalion?
Affirmative.
173rd Airborne?
Yeah.
Signed SOG?
Hey, buddy, you gonna shut the door?
The second officer steps inside.
We have orders to escort you to the airfield.
Willard glances around at his ransacked room.
What are the charges?
Sir?
What'd I do?
There's no charges, Captain. You have orders to report to ComSec Intelligence at Nautrang.
I see.
Right?
Yeah, Nautrang for me.
That's right. Come on, Captain. You still have a few hours to get cleaned up. Captain?
Willard lies down on his mattress.
Dave, come here and give me a hand. We got a dead one. Come on, Captain. Let's take a shower.
Let's get moving. We're going to take a shower, Captain.
Come on.
In we go.
Now stand underneath this, Captain.
Willard gapes under the water. A helicopter lands on a jungle airfield. Willard jumps out with the officers.
I was going to the worst place in the world, and I didn't even know it yet. Weeks away and hundreds of miles up a river that snaked through the war like a main circuit cable, plugged straight into Kurtz. It was no accident that I got to be the caretaker of Colonel Walter E. Kurtz's memory, any more than being back in Saigon was an accident. There is no way to tell his story without telling my own. And if his story is really a confession...
Captain Willard reporting, sir.
Then so is mine.
Captain. Good. Come on in.
Thank you, sir.
Stand at ease.
Captain.
Willard stands before three men in a trailer.
No, thank you, sir.
Captain, have you ever seen this gentleman before?
No, sir.
Met the general or myself?
No, sir. Not personally.
You worked a lot on your own, haven't you, Captain?
Yes, sir, I have.
Your report specifies intelligence, counterintelligence with ComSec I-Corps.
I'm not presently disposed to discuss those operations, sir.
The clean-shaven, bespectacled officer picks up a file, leafing through it.
Did you not work for the CIA and I-Corps?
No, sir.
Did you not assassinate a government tax collector, Quantri Province, June 18, 1968? Captain?
Sir, I'm unaware of any such activity or operation. Nor would I be disposed to discuss such an operation if it did in fact exist, sir.
The general, a craggy-faced man in his 50s, stands and moves close to Willard.
I thought we'd have a bite of lunch while we talk. I hope you brought a good appetite, Captain. I noticed that you have a bad hand there. Are you wounded?
Had a little fishing accident on R&R, sir.
Fishing on R&R?
Yes, sir.
But you're feeling fit. You're ready for duty.
Well, yes, General. Very much so, sir.
Well, let's see what we have here. Roast beef, and usually it's not bad. Try some, Jerry, and pass it around. Save a little time. We might pass both ways. Captain, I don't know how you feel about this shrimp, but if you'll eat it, you'll never have to prove your courage in any other way. Why don't I just take a piece here?
Captain, you've heard of Colonel Walter E. Kurtz?
Yes, sir, I've heard the name.
Jesus. Operations officer, 5th Special Forces.
Luke, would you play that tape with the captain, please?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Listen to this carefully, Captain.
Willard eyes the photo of heavy-featured Kurtz.
October 9, 0430 hours, Sector Peter Victor King.
He's monitored out of Cambodia. This has been verified as Colonel Kurtz's voice.
I watched a snail crawl along the edge of a straight razor. That's my dream. It's my nightmare. Crawling, slithering along the edge of a straight razor and surviving.
Transmission 11, received 68, December 30, 0500 hours. Sector King, Zulu King.
But we must kill them. We must incinerate them. Pig after pig. Cow after cow. Village after village. Army after army. And they call me an assassin. What do you call it when the assassins accuse the assassin? They lie. They lie, and we have to be merciful for those who lie. Those nabobs. I hate them. I do hate them.
Walt Kurtz was one of the most outstanding officers this country's ever produced. He was brilliant. He was outstanding in every way. And he was a good man, too. A humanitarian man. And of wit and humor. He joined the Special Forces. And after that, his ideas, methods, became unsound.
The general studies a photo of Kurtz, then passes it back to Willard.
Unsound.
Now he's crossed into Cambodia with this mountaineered army of his that worship the man like a god and follow every order, however ridiculous.
Well, I have some other shocking news to tell you. Colonel Kurtz was about to be arrested for murder.
I don't follow, sir. Murdered who?
Kurtz had ordered the execution of some Vietnamese intelligence agents, men he believed were double agents. So he took matters into his own hands.
Well, you see, Willard, in this war, things get confused out there. Power, ideals, the old morality, and practical military necessity. But out there with these natives, it must be a temptation to be God. Because there's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. And good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. Every man has got a breaking point. You and I have them. Walt Kurtz has reached his. And very obviously, he has gone insane.
Willard locks a loaded look with the man in the shirt and tie beside him.
Yes, sir. Very much so, sir. Obviously insane.
Your mission is to proceed up the Nung River in a Navy patrol boat. Pick up Colonel Kurtz's path at Nu Mung Ba. Follow it, learn what you can along the way. When you find the colonel, infiltrate his team by whatever means available, and terminate the colonel's command.
Willard's gaze shifts towards the general. He gives a single slow nod as he speaks.
Terminate the colonel.
He's out there operating without any decent restraint, totally beyond the pale of any acceptable human conduct. And he's still in the field commanding troops.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
You understand, Captain, that this mission does not exist, nor will it ever exist.
The CIA man picks up a packet of cigarettes, offering one to Willard. Willard puts a cigarette between his lips. The agent lights it. Willard meets the general's forlorn stare. Willard's gaze drifts towards the linen curtains. A chopper flies over a rugged mountainous ridge beside a bay dotted with islands. The sunlight glints off the water below. Farmers hold onto their triangular hats as the chopper lands on a flooded rice paddy.
How many people had I already killed? There were those six that I knew about for sure. Close enough to blow their last breath in my face. But this time, it was an American and an officer.
The Stars and Stripes flag flutters atop the small gunboat that swings out from the jetty and motors upriver between junks and sandpans.
That wasn't supposed to make any difference to me, but it did. Shit. Charging a man with murder in this place was like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500. I took the mission. What the hell else was I gonna do? But I really didn't know what I'd do when I found him.
Willard lies in the back of the boat, a blindfold tied across his eyes. The sun rises.
I was being ferried down the coast in a Navy PBR, a type of plastic patrol boat, pretty common sight on the rivers. They said it was a good way to pick up information and move without drawing a lot of attention. That was okay. I needed the air and the time. Only problem was I wouldn't be alone.
Morning, Captain.
Clean Miller, skinny and black, brushes his teeth.
The crew were mostly just kids. Rock and rollers with one foot in their graves.
How old are you?
17.
The machinist, the one they called Chef, was from New Orleans. He was wrapped too tight for Vietnam. Probably wrapped too tight for New Orleans. Lance, on the forward 50s, was a famous surfer from the beaches south of L.A. To look at him, you wouldn't believe he'd ever fired a weapon in his life. Clean, Mr. Clean, was from some South Bronx shithole, and I think the light and space of Vietnam really put the zap on his head. Then there was Phillips, the chief. It might have been my mission, but it sure as shit was the chief's boat.
There's about 2 points where we can draw enough water to get into the Nung River. They're both hot, along the Charlie.
Don't worry about it.
Don't smoke. You know, I pulled a few special ops in here. About 6 months ago, I took a man who was going up past the bridge at Doe Lung. He was regular army too. Heard he shot himself in the head.
Chief Phillips stares ahead as the boat's wake buffets a rickety bamboo jetty.
Good morning, Vietnam. I'm Army Specialist Zach Johnson on AFVN. It's about 82 degrees in downtown Saigon right now, also very humid. And we have an important message for all GIs who are living off base from the mayor of Saigon.
Yeah.
He'd like you to hang your laundry up indoors instead of on the windowsills. The mayor wants you to keep Saigon beautiful. And now here's another blast from the past going out to Big Sam, who's all alone in the mantle room out there with the 1st Battalion, 35th Infantry, and dedicated by the fire team at Odd Cape to their groovy CO friend, the head. The Rolling Stone.
Work
out, please! Get down, Bubber!
Miller dances while Lance water skis. Vietnamese women and children scramble onto the bank from the boat's waves. Miller struts between the guns on deck with the radio, while Lance weaves across the waves in the boat's wake. Two men topple off a raft as the boat powers past.
I see this right on top of the
Sitting in the back of the boat, Willard sifts through the notes and photographs in Kurtz's dossier.
At first, I thought they handed me the wrong dossier. I couldn't believe they wanted this man dead. Third generation West Point, top of his class, Korea, airborne, about 1,000 decorations, etc., etc. I'd heard his voice on the tape, and it really put the hook in me. But I couldn't connect up that voice with this man.
Willard wipes away the beads of sweat that trickle down his face.
Like they said, he had an impressive career. Maybe too impressive. I mean, perfect. He was being groomed for one of the top slots in the corporation. General, chief of staff, anything. In 1964, he returned from a tour with advisory command in Vietnam, and things started to slip. His report to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Lyndon Johnson was restricted. Seems they didn't dig what he had to tell them. During the next few months, he made 3 requests for transfer to airborne training, Fort Benning, Georgia, and was finally accepted. Airborne. He was 38 years old. Why the fuck would he do that? 1966. Joins Special Forces. Returns Vietnam.
Hey, what's that?
Arc light.
What's up?
B-52 strike.
Yeah. What's that?
Arc light.
I hate that. Every time I hear that, something terrible happens.
Charlie, don't never see him or hear him, man.
There they are.
Concussion or suck the air out of your damn lungs.
Something terrible is gonna happen.
Smoke! Secondary burning.
UAs over there. Lots of UAs.
Let's have a look, Chief.
Phillips tosses Willard binoculars. He looks at choppers.
It was the air cab. First of the night.
That's them.
Our escorts to the mouth of the Nung River. But they were supposed to be waiting for us another 30 kilometers ahead. Well, air mobile. Those boys just couldn't stay put.
Phillips's boat cruises in towards the carnage on shore, where the GIs help injured women and children. The choppers power overhead towards a smoking village. Willard leaps off the boat, carrying an M16 assault rifle.
First of the ninth was an old cavalry division, and had cashed in its horses for choppers and gone terrassing around Nam looking for the ship. They'd given Charlie a few surprises in their time here. What they were mopping up now hadn't even happened yet an hour ago.
An amphibious tank blasts a hut and smashes through it.
Go on, keep going! With help! Don't look at the camera! Just go by like you're fighting! Go look at the camera! It's a television! Just go through! Just go by! Keep on going! Go on, keep going! Don't look at the camera!
Willard stops and looks at a camera crew filming as he makes his way towards the ruined village. Willard exchanges a salute with a soldier and leans close to his ear.
Where can I find a CO? The MS-30's over there.
We're all right for the tanks, it's all right, Captain.
Captain Willard, I carry priority papers for ComSec Intelligence, 2 Corps. I understand the Trang has briefed you on the requirements of my mission.
What mission? I haven't heard from the Trang.
Sir, your unit's supposed to escort us into the Nung.
Well, we'll see what Colonel. We can do, but just stand on my way till this is done, Captain.
Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore in a Yankee cavalry Stetson deals a pack of cards onto Vietnamese corpses.
Yeah, that's what we have. 2 spades, 3 of spades. 4 diamonds, 6 of clubs, 8 of spades. Isn't one worth a jack and a whole bunch?
Willard picks the 7 of hearts off a body.
Hey, Captain! What's that?
Discharge!
What?
Discharge! Let's Charlie know who did this!
Kilgore pats a young GI's knee as a photographer snaps photos.
Cheer up, son.
We will not hurt behind you.
Fire in the hole!
We are here to extend a welcome hand to those of you who would like to return to the arms of the South Vietnamese government.
An injured Vietnamese.
What is this? This man's hurt pretty bad, sir. About the only thing that's holding his guts in, sir, is that pot lid.
Yeah? What do you got to say?
This soldier is very busy. He wants water. He can drink paddy water.
Get out of here! Give me that canteen.
Busy.
Any man's brave enough to... Get out of here! I can kick your fucking ass!
You're killing a lot of our people! You know?
Any man brave enough to... Why would his guts strapped on him to drink from my canteen any day?
Hey, Colonel!
I think one of those sailors, Lance Johnson, the surfer. Wait, hey, you sure?
Down there.
Kilgore leaves the dying Viet Cong, taking the canteen.
Repeat, we have a body count. We have...
He makes his way over to Lance.
What's your name, sailor?
Gunner's mate, third class, L. Johnson, sir.
Gunner's mate, third class.
Lance Johnson, the surfer?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's an honor to meet you, Lance. I've admired your nose riding for years. I like your cutback, too. I think you're the best cutback there is.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Well, you can cut out the surcraft, Lance. I'm Bill Kilgore. I'm a goofy fuck. This guy with you?
Yeah.
Willard follows Kilgore and Lance.
San Diego, far out. Johnny from Malibu, gone high. Pretty solid surfer, far out. None of us are anywhere in New York class, though.
No way.
We do a lot of surfing around here, Lance. I like to finish operations early. Find out about top for the evening class.
Willard smokes as he watches Kilgore lead his men off through the carnage. A priest leads soldiers in prayer. Calf dangles overhead, slung below a chopper. Night. Soldiers huddle around campfires on the beach with beers.
Kilgore had a pretty good day for himself. They choppered in the T-bones and the beer and turned the LZ into a beach party. The more they tried to make it just like home, the more they made everybody miss it.
Make my meat rare, but that's cold.
Well, he wasn't a bad officer, I guess. He loved his boys, and he felt safe with him. He was one of those guys that had that weird light around him. You just knew he wasn't going to get so much as a scratch here.
What happened to your mission, Captain? Trying to forget all about you.
Willard lies nearby drinking beer. Willard brings a map to Kilgore.
Airborne.
Sir? Two places we can get into the river.
Yeah.
Here and here. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty wide delta, but these are the only two spots I'm really sure of.
Well, that village you're pointing at is kind of hairy, Willard.
What do you mean, hairy, sir?
It's hairy. Got some pretty heavy ordnance. I lost a few recon ships in there now and again. What's the name of that goddamn village? Vindrin Dop or Lop? Damn, good names all sound the same. Mike, you know anything about this pointed Vindrin Drop?
That's a fantastic peak.
Peak?
About 6 foot. Yeah, it's an outstanding peak. It's got both a long right and left slide with a bowl section. It's unbelievable. It's just Tube City.
Well, why didn't you tell me that before, a good peak? There aren't any good peaks in this whole shitty country. It's all goddamn beach break.
It's really hairy in there, sir. That's where we lost McDonald. It shot the hell out of us there. That's Charlie's point.
Sir, we can go in there tomorrow at dawn. There's always a good offshore breeze in the morning.
We may not be able to get the boat in. The draft at the mouth of that river may be too shallow.
Now we'll pick your boat up and put it down like a baby right where you want it.
First of the night. Air cab, son. Air mobile.
Bum, 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 bum.
I can take that point and hold it just as long as I like, and you can get any place up that river that suits you, young captain.
Hell, a 6 foot peak.
All right, take a gunship back to the division.
Lance, go with Mike, let him pick out a board for you, and bring me my Yater spoon, the 8-6.
I don't know, sir. It's
what is it, soldier?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hairy in there. It's Charlie's point.
Charlie, don't surf!
Dawn light breaks through the clouds as Kilgore leads his men out to the Bell Hueys powering up on the beach. Among the guns and equipment, the guys at the back carry surfboards. Philip's crew sit in one chopper, cradling machine guns, gazing out towards their boat. Chef.
Hey, Jesus, clean, you ain't gonna believe this. Look!
Hey, man! They're picking up the boat!
Kilgore looks towards the gunner on his Huey. Kilgore nods towards a bugler. The choppers sweep out over the water above the bugler, who stands alone in a Yankee Stetson and neckerchief. Silhouetted against the rising sun, the light glints off the flanks of the dark helicopters swarming over the palm trees. Willard gazes out of the open side of the Bell Huey as he sits behind Kilgore. Black smoke billows up against the red sky. A bright arc of light breaks above a ridge as the sun climbs. Willard gazes into space as Kilgore chats to Lance beside him.
I never have got used to a light board, and I can't get used to them. I'm used to a heavy board.
I know, it's a real drag.
You prefer a heavy or a light board?
Heavier.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought all the young guys like lighter boards.
You can't write the nose on those things.
Big Duke 6, this is Eagle Thrust 7. We've got it spotted.
Big Duke 6 to Eagle Thrust. Put on heading 270. Assume attack formation.
That's a roger, Big Duke. Okay, we're going
in. Here we go. We're coming low out of the rising sun, and about a mile out, we'll put on the music.
Music?
Yeah, I use Wagner. It scares the hell out of the slopes. My boys love it.
Hey, we're gonna play music.
Chef watches a young GI take his helmet off, rise up on his haunches, and squat down onto it.
How come all you guys sit on your helmet?
Don't get a ball blown off.
Chef's grin wilts gravely. He takes his helmet off and sits on it. Kilgore.
Big Duke 6 Eagle Thrust. Put on Saiwara. Sing it loud. And the Romeo Foxtrot, shall we dance?
Phillips and his men swap looks as the reel-to-reel tape belts out the music. The Hueys bristle with rockets and machine guns. Mustachioed Chef closes his eyes and mutters. Willard looks ahead, out of the side of the Huey. Women sort vegetables at the edge of a piazza in a village. Children emerge from a school. A teacher, dressed in flowing white robes, leads her pupils away as a Viet Cong soldier runs up. A young child stops and looks up at the sky before being ushered away. The choppers zoom in low across the surf. Vietnamese sprint along a bamboo bridge and leap down into the trenches, manning machine guns behind sandbags. A pilot pulls a trigger on his joystick. Rockets fire. Rockets and machine guns from the choppers lash the village. Soldiers in the helicopters fire their assault rifles out of the sides. The choppers thunder over the piazza. They swoop over the school. Anti-aircraft guns fire from positions on the beach.
Spotted a large weapon down below.
We're gonna go down and check it out.
All right, this is 1-5. I'm rolling.
A Huey takes a hit, bursting into flames. A second chopper blasts the anti-aircraft gun.
Hey, what a shot!
Outstanding, Red Team, outstanding. Get your case of beer for that.
Vietnamese fire up at the helicopters with rifles as they swoop again.
So 20 Mike Vulcan right along those tree lines. Ripping the shit out of them.
Got a vehicle on the bridge. 50 caliber on board. He's moving across. He's lighting a weapon.
Big Duke 6. Clear the area. I'm coming down myself. These people let me give up.
A truck is blasted off the bridge.
Nice shot, Bill!
Bullets strafe the cabin. They land in a green smoke screen. Willard and Kilgore's men leap out and scurry across the sand. Sand blows up as the Hueys touch down. The GIs leap out, taking positions. Lance is dragged out of the helicopter. GIs storm up the beach through smoke and flames.
Secondaries down there in the plaza.
Blue 3, Blue 4, hold out over position X-ray.
Duke 6, we've got wounded down there.
A canister billows yellow smoke into the piazza near a downed GI. His leg is severed at the knee.
In 15 minutes. I want my men out.
Somebody stay in there tight with Big Duke.
This is Duke 2. We're going to be in Dharma to get out, so the spirit is waiting.
A Huey lowers down into the piazza by the wounded GI outside the school. As the medics lift the wounded man into the chopper, a young woman rushes up.
Savages.
Flaming crew roll from the helicopter wreckage.
Holy Christ, she's a savage. They better get that thing switched. Get over there, Johnny. Roll in there. Put the right skid right up her ass.
The bomber women are gunned down.
Come here in these trees. It's goddamn eat up with enemy down there. Taking fire. I'm taking hits all over our farm. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, my position. Draw fire. Draw heavy fire. Mayday, mayday. I'm going in. The tail rotor's out. I got control.
Hueys blow the bridge as rockets fly at them from the jungle.
Watch. Look, 6 foot swell.
Kilgore's Huey lowers in to land amid smoke grenades on the peninsula. On the front are the crossed cavalry swords of the regiment insignia above the legend, Death from Above. Willard follows as Kilgore leaps out and strides through the smoke, looking at the surf. Kilgore stands casually as a rocket lands close.
This LZ's still pretty hot, sir. Maybe you gotta surf somewhere else.
What do you know about surfing, Major? You're from goddamn New Jersey.
Come here.
Kilgore beckons Johnny and Mike over.
Change! Mean right now, sir?
I want to see how radical that stuff is, go change!
You're pretty hairy out there, sir.
You want to surf, soldier?
Yes, sir.
That's good, son, because you either surf or fight. That's clear? Now get going. I'll come aboard and bring aboard for Lance.
Can't do shit till the boat gets here.
Lance, I'll bet you can't when you get out there.
What?
See how they break both ways? One guy can break right, one left simultaneous. What do you think of that?
Bill, I think we gotta wait for the tide to come up.
Hey, Lance, come here. Look, look.
Incoming!
Kilgore stands. Lance hits the deck.
Just come in for 6 hours! You wanna wait here for 6 hours?
Miller and Phillips watch their boat lowered by a chopper. Lance and Willard gawp as Johnny and Mike tumble into the breakers under fire. Willard rounds on Kilgore.
Okay, fellas, quit hiding. Come on, let's go. We can't take off.
God damn it! Don't you think it's a little risky for R&R?
If I say it's safe to surf this beach, Captain, it's safe to surf this beach. I mean, I'm not afraid to surf this place. I'm safe to surf this fucking place.
Kilgore stands and strips to the waist. Kilgore radios.
Big Duke 6. God damn it! I'm on the tree line bomb!
Big Duke 6, roger, Dub 1-3, standby.
Moving to Stone Age, son!
Hawk 1-2, Dub 1-3, roger, they need some napalm down in the tree line. Can you get twisted around time to put it down here?
Right, 1-3, you were fixed to fuck with. What target?
I'm gonna suppress the mortar fire off the tree line down here.
Roger, here we come.
Good, give it all you got, bring in all your ships. Wing of breath.
Don't worry, we'll have this place cleaned up and ready for us in the jiffy, son. Don't you worry.
Big Duke 6, this is Dub 1-3. The jet's inbound now. There, you got about 30 seconds on station. Get your people back and head down. This is going to be a big one.
The flying boat banks away as a tight formation of four jet fighters zoom over the jungle canopy. Fire and smoke engulfs the tree line in their wake.
You smell that? Napalm, son! Nothing else in the world smells like that!
Kilgore crouches beside Willard's crater, smoking, gazing around.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb? For 12 hours, when it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking dink body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? A whole hill. Smelled like victory. Someday this war's gonna end.
Willard watches incredulously as Kilgore nods wryly and strolls away. Night falls as Phillips' boat cruises through the shattered bridge and past the blazing village on up the river. The crew pass round a joint.
Lance!
Chef, light up, man. Come on. Let's get out of
the smoke.
What you doing, man? Light up.
Someday this war's gonna end. That'd be just fine with the boys on the boat. They weren't looking for anything more than a way home.
Captain?
Trouble is, I'd been back there. And I knew that it just didn't exist anymore.
Willard lets the sheet fall down over the cabin door.
Put it down. All right, that's red-headed motherfuckers.
Willard tips the water out of his canteen and pours brandy in.
If that's how Kilgore fought the war, I began to wonder what they really had against Kurtz. It wasn't just insanity and murder. There was enough of that to go around for everyone.
He swigs from the bottle. Vegetation hangs out from the bank as the river narrows.
Puskula had a thing for Lady Clydia, the gang's mistress. I mean, he never was hurt for pussy.
I'm not here. I'm walking through the jungle gathering mangoes. I meet Raquel Welch. You make a nice mango cream pudding. You know, kind of spread it around on us.
Hey, Captain, I want to get some mangoes.
Well, just don't go out there by yourself. You don't want to go in there alone. Not unless you already know the territory.
Any poisonous snakes around here?
Fuck it. I'm gonna go eat some mango.
Willard follows with his M16 as Chef wanders into the jungle with a bucket.
Chef. Yes, sir. How come they call you that?
Call me what, sir?
Chef. Because you like mangoes and stuff?
No, sir. I'm a real chef. I'm a saucier.
Saucier?
Yes, sir. See, I come from New Orleans. I was raised to be a saucier. Great saucier.
What's a saucier?
We specialize in sauces. Gotta be a mango tree here somewhere.
Willard glares warily into the undergrowth as they clamber over the giant roots of a huge tree.
And then I was supposed to go to Paris, study at the Scoffier School. Then I got orders for my physical.
Mist rises from the moonlit rainforest around them. Chef trudges with his blue bucket, rifle over shoulder.
Hell, I joined the Navy. Heard they had better food. Cook school. That did it.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
Oh, you don't want to hear about that. They lined us up in front of 100 yards of prime rib. All of us, you know, lined up looking at it. Magnificent meat. Really. Beautifully marbled. Magnifique. Next thing, they're throwing the meat into these big cauldrons. All of it. Boiling it. I looked inside, man, it was turning gray. I couldn't fucking believe that one. That's when I applied for radioman school, but then they gave me the engine mechanic.
Chef clutches his rifle as Willard stalks into the vegetation. They edge below vast leaves of towering tropical plants, peering into the darkness ahead.
What is it? Charlie?
Willard's jaw clenches as his eyes focus in on the movement in the dappled moonlight ahead. A tiger lurches towards them. The boat scrambles.
Land up front. The under 60 feet.
Come on.
Fucking tiger.
Captain, come on.
What's happening?
Go. Let's go.
Man,
if you were right, never get out of the fucking boat.
Wait, bring that 60 forward.
Why? Never get out of the boat.
Why?
Get out of the boat. I gotta remember. Never get out of the boat.
Lean, under 60.
I don't want to do is fucking cook. I just want to learn to fucking cook, man.
All right. It's gonna be all right. Never get out of the fucking boat. Hi, tiger.
Never get out of the boat. Absolutely goddamn right. Unless you were going all the way. Kurtz got off the boat. He split from the whole fucking program.
The gunboat cruises along the dark river.
How did that happen? What did he see here that first tour?
Willard lights a cigarette in the darkness. He reads Kurtz's file by torchlight.
38 fucking years old. If you joined the Green Berets, there was no way you'd ever get above Colonel. Kurtz knew what he was giving up. And the more I read and began to understand, the more I admired him. His family and friends couldn't understand it, and they couldn't talk him out of it. He had to apply 3 times, and he put up with a ton of shit, but when he threatened to resign, they gave it to him. The next youngest guy in his class was half his age. They must have thought he was some far-out old man humping it over that course. I did it when I was 19. It damn near wasted me. A tough motherfucker. He finished it. He could have gone for general, but he went for himself instead.
The crew snooze. Chef writes a letter by torchlight.
Dear Eva, today was really a new one. I almost got eaten alive by a fucking tiger. Really unfucking believable, you know? We're taking this guy, Captain Willard, up the river, but he hasn't told us yet where we're taking him. Come on, baby, let the good time. Thought you might have heard by now from Elwood. I'll be coming home.
October 1967. On Special Assignment Kantum Province 2 Corps, Kurt staged Operation Archangel with combined local forces, rated a major success.
Willard studies a magazine cutting, sweat beading on his face.
He received no official clearance. He just started up and did it. What balls. They were going to nail his ass to the floorboards for that one, but after the press got a hold of it, they promoted him to full colonel instead. Oh, man. The bullshit piled up so fast in Vietnam, you needed wings to stay above it.
A shaft of bright light cuts across Willard's face from outside. On deck, Phillips and Lance stir from snoozing, wincing in the dazzling beams. The crew gather at the prow to take in a floodlit arena on the waterside ahead as the boat rounds a bend. As he steers, a broad grin spreads across Miller's face.
This sure enough is a bizarre sight in the middle of this shit.
Expecting us this time?
Damned if I know.
Chef gazes in awe at the floodlit arena and amphitheater seats. Is waved into a dock by crew. Willard and the others leap ashore.
In fact, you ever been up here before, Chef?
I bet you can score up here.
Yo, man, check out the fights, man. Suki. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, sukiyaki.
Willard leads the others past a warehouse crammed with goods.
This must be the guy, right?
Right over there.
He joins Miller and Chef at a stand on the dockside.
3 drums of diesel fuel, PBR-5.
Come on, man, move. We don't have time. 1 hour, that's all. What do you want?
Can I get a list of Panama Red with it?
Panama Red, yeah, I'll get you Panama Red.
Sergeant.
Destination.
I don't have no destination.
You got a destination?
Sorry.
Diesel fuel. All right, you got a destination? I need a destination. I can't do a goddamn thing about it.
Hey, Sarge, these guys are with me. Destination's classified. I carry priority papers from CommSec Intelligence 2 Corps.
Okay, right, sir. Hey, listen, it's a real big night. $8 for that camo.
Willard pulls the sergeant over the desk.
Hey, just give him some fuel. You got it.
Dog starts barking.
Hey, listen, Captain. I'm really sorry about tonight. It's really bad around here, and just take this over to the man at the supply desk, and you got it. Hey, listen, would you guys like some seats, some press box seats for the show? You want those?
$500
show, man, the show, out here.
Who?
Bunnies. Bunnies.
Bunnies.
Hey, listen, Captain. On the house. No hard feelings, huh?
The profiteering sergeant slips a bottle into Willard's hand and pats him on the back. Willard stares at the arena as the sergeant serves the others. A Playboy bunny is emblazoned on the front of a Huey that lands on the arena.
Hey,
The amphitheater seats are packed with GIs and Marines waving their caps as the chopper lands on the flood-lit floating stage.
Yeah! And to prove it, we're gonna give you some entertainment we know you're gonna like. Miss August, Miss Sangabedi.
Girls lean out of the chopper.
Miss May, Miss Terry Terray. Yeah! And the Playmate of the Year, Miss Terry Foster. Yeah!
The models sashay across the stage towards the crowd, one dressed as Pocahontas, the other in a skimpy cavalry blouse. Chef and Miller struggle through the seething crowd to their seats. Willard watches dolefully. A cowgirl is carried by two GIs. Miller cheers in the crowd, watching the cowgirl gyrate and wind her hips. Willard struggles through the crowd to the steps at the side. Lance joins Miller and Chef in the crowd. The girls on stage gyrate against guns. Beyond a perimeter chain-link fence, Vietnamese men, women and children watch impassively. The girls back away warily as two GIs leap across the divide between the seats and the stage. Military police hold back further stage invaders. The promoter beckons the playmates back into the chopper. He takes flares from his pocket and throws them down, smoking on the stage. The crowd mobbing the helicopter back away towards the stands as the smoke from the flares wafts over them. As the chopper rises, two pranksters rise up into the air with it. One guy clinging to the landing rails, the other hanging onto the first man's legs. Willard watches as both dangling stage invaders drop one by one into the water by the stage.
Charlie didn't get much USO. He was dug in too deep or moving too fast. His idea of great R&R was cold rice and a little rat meat. He had only two ways home. Death or victory.
Day. Willard watches crew clean up the now deserted stage as the boat pulls away.
No wonder Kurtz put a weed up command's ass. The war was being run by a bunch of four-star clowns who were going to end up giving the whole circus away.
Believe that? Believe what? Miss December, I gotta come here and find her here?
Shit.
Chicken time.
You ain't shitting, bro. The motherfucking...
Another boat charges at Phillips.
Hey, what's going on? Look inside, chief. Don't fuck out, man.
Is that you, Lazaro?
Come on, man. Don't check it out.
The other crew pass close, mooning. A flare is tossed from a second passing boat. Chef uses a fire extinguisher to fight the flames on the tarpaulin roof. Miller drums on the deck rails while Lance and Chef thatch a roof of palm fronds in the rain.
Late summer, autumn 1968. Kurtz's patrols in the highlands coming under frequent ambush. The camp started falling apart.
Black and white photos of war zones in wallets marked classified.
November. Kurtz orders assassination of three Vietnamese men and one woman. Two of the men were colonels in the South Vietnamese Army. Enemy activity in his old sector dropped off to nothing. Guess he must have hit the right four people.
Willard recalls his lunch with the general.
He joined the Special Forces. And after that, his,
The Army tried one last time to bring him back into the fold.
Methods.
And if he'd pulled over, it all would have been forgotten.
And sound.
But he kept going.
Now he's crossed into Cambodia.
And he kept winning it his way.
This Martin Yard army of his.
And they called me in.
A man like a god. And follow every order, however ridiculous.
They lost him. He was gone. Nothing but rumors and random intelligence, mostly from captured VC. The VC knew his name by now, and they were scared of him. He and his men were playing hit and run all the way into Cambodia.
Photos of rows of heads on sticks.
Dinner with the President of the United States, baby. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, Chef, put the cover on that. Clean.
Willard scowls at Miller. To Chief Phillips.
How long has that kid been on his boat?
7 months.
He's really specializing in busting my balls.
Very possible, Captain. He thinks the same of you.
Oh, yeah? What do you think, Chief?
I don't think. My orders say I'm not supposed to know where I'm taking this boat, so I don't. But one look at you and I know it's going to be hot, wherever it is.
Phillips looks searchingly at Willard, who clambers round to the side of the boat's bridge to talk to Phillips as he's steering.
We're going upriver about 75 clicks above the Dolong Bridge.
That's Cambodia, Captain.
That's classified. We're not supposed to be in Cambodia, but that's where I'm going. You just get me close to my destination, and I'll cut you and the crew loose.
All right, Captain.
Willard and Phillips exchange grave looks. Dark clouds gather above the rugged, verdant ridges which flank the river. The flimsy, grey-paneled boat cruises round a bend. Willard's steely grey eyes run over a typed letter as he reads.
Dear son, I'm afraid that both you and your mother will have been worried at not hearing from me during the past weeks, but my situation here has become a difficult one. I have been officially accused of murder by the army. The alleged alleged victims were four Vietnamese double agents. We spent months uncovering them and accumulating evidence. When absolute proof was completed, we acted. We acted like soldiers. The charges aren't justified. They are, in fact, and in the circumstances of this conflict, quite completely insane.
The boat glides past Vietnamese children in a canoe shrouded in a cloud of yellow smoke from a flare. A child wears a U.S. helicopter pilot's helmet.
In a war, there are many moments for compassion and tender action. There are many moments for ruthless action. What is often called ruthless. What may in many circumstances be only clarity. Seeing clearly what there is to be done and doing it. Directly. Quickly. Awake. Looking at it. I would trust you to tell your mother what you choose about this letter. As for the charges against me, I am unconcerned. I am beyond their timid, lying morality, and so I am beyond caring. You have all my faith. Your loving father.
Pilots in U.S. uniforms dangle limply from the trees beside a flaming wreckage around the bend in the river. Willard gazes at a shadowy photo in the dossier marked, believed to be Colonel Kurtz.
Shut the fuck up! I'm sure sorry about that! I didn't know when I'd take you to New Orleans!
I hope that's you,
swimmer! Get the fuck!
Get
swimmer! I'll get you fixed up, you prick!
They all shall!
You're the
only
fucking prick I see around here! And if I want to play with your pretty head!
They all shall!
What
do
you do with a cherry boy? Fucking cherry boy!
What do you think I said? And give your jaws a rest. And this ain't the army. You are sailor. So get out of that frizzly army looking shit and stop smoking that dope. You hear me?
Chef nods. Phillips is smearing green and black paint on his face.
Ben, what's with all the green paint?
Camouflage.
How's that?
So they can't see you. They're everywhere, Chief.
Uh-huh. I want you to stay awake up there, man. You got a job to do.
Willard looks back at Kurtz's silhouette in the grainy photo once again. Light glints off the bald pate of the burly figure. A rickety boat.
Sandpan off the port bow. Sandpan off the port bow. Let's take a look. Man, bring him in. Green, on the 16, Chef. Get a 16.
Green, get on that 16!
Willard clambers into the bridge with Phillips.
What's up, Chief?
Junk boat, Captain. We're gonna take a routine check.
Well, let's forget routine now and let them go.
These boats are running supplies in this delta, Captain. I'm gonna take a look.
Chief, my mission's got priority here. Hell, you wouldn't even be in this part of the river if it wasn't for me.
Until we reach your destination, Captain, you're just on for the ride.
Stand by, lads.
Throw the rope. Stand by, asshole.
All right, come on. Let's bring it over.
The Vietnamese toss ropes to the Americans.
Bring the people out of there.
Three young Vietnamese men stand timidly holding their passes to Chef.
Come on, hurry up, motherfucker! Move it, Kong Kuk!
Umaomi! Umaomi!
Kong Kuk, you too, come on.
Keep your eyes open clean.
I got you, Chief.
Miller turns the heavy machine gun towards the men in the sandpan.
Come here, Chief. Thank you.
That's them. Them, they're okay.
Board and search it.
This fucking boat ain't nothing on it, Chief.
Board it and search it.
There's baskets and ducks, fucking bananas.
Ain't nothing on it. Chef. What's wrong with you? Go on and search it.
There's the goat. Some fish.
Chef.
Bunch of fucking beds. There's nothing
on it. Get
on
that boat!
There's nothing on it, man!
Get on it!
All right! Move it, asshole! Move it, goddamn!
Chef clambers into the sandpan.
What's in the rice bag?
Fucking rice!
Well, look in there, Chef. Look at it.
Fucking fish. More coconuts. Rice. Here's rice.
What's in that vegetable basket?
Come, get out of here. Come on. Get over.
Chef, check that vegetable basket.
All right.
Shut up, slow.
There ain't nothing in here.
What's in the boxes?
Nothing.
Look in the tin can.
Nothing.
That rusty can.
There's fucking rice in that doll. There ain't nothing on it.
Check the yellow can. Check the yellow can. She was sitting on it. What's in it?
Miller guns down the Vietnamese. Chef cowers in the stern as Lance fires too. Rises slowly from the stern of the gunboat, pistol clenched in his hand. Chef scrambles towards the can.
You okay, Lance?
What the fuck? Shit, Chef! You okay? She was hiding, huh?
You all right?
See what she's running for?
The fucking puppy! The fucking puppy!
Give me that dog!
Give me that dog!
No, you're not gonna get it!
Give it to me!
No, give me the fucking dog, you asshole!
Lance seizes the pup.
Fucking mango, Chef! You want that?
Chef, she's moving behind you. She's alive. Check her out. Chef!
Yes!
She's moving behind you. Check her out!
All right. Come on, Clean.
God damn it, give me a hand. Clean, give him a hand.
Fuck it.
Take it easy. Slow down and take it easy.
All right,
calm
chef,
down.
Just wait a minute, huh? Chef.
Bring her up, Chef. She's breathing, Chef.
She's hurt. She's bleeding.
Bring her on board. We're taking her to an Arvin.
Look at her.
What are you talking about?
We're taking her to some friendlies, Captain. She's wounded. She's not dead.
Yeah, no shit.
The book says, Captain.
Chef falls back, clear of the young woman, as Willard stands over her and shoots her in the chest with his pistol.
Fuck you. What? Fuck him.
I told you not to stop. Now let's go.
Willard turns away from Phillips and trudges to the back of the boat as the sun sets. Miller stands by the gun. Lance cradles the puppy. Shafts of red sunlight glint off the water as Willard sits and hangs his head. From a black screen, an image of the boat in silhouette against dark, tree-lined mountains as it cruises upriver against the red dusk light.
It was a way we had over here of living with ourselves. We'd cut them in half with a machine gun and give them a band-aid. It was a lie. And the more I saw them, the more I hated lies. Those boys were never going to look at me the same way again. But I felt like I knew one or two things about Kurtz that weren't in the dossier.
A flimsy bridge spans the river ahead.
Dolong Bridge was the last army outpost on the Nung River. Beyond it, there was only Kurtz.
Lance! Hey, Lance! What do you think?
It's beautiful.
Huh? I mean, what's the matter with you? You acting kind of weird.
Hey, you know that last tub of acid I was saving?
Yeah.
I dropped it.
You dropped acid?
Bar out.
GIs swarm into the water towards the boat. The boat trundles past the carcass of a downed chopper on the riverbank. A man calls through a megaphone from the shore.
Is there a Captain Willard on board?
Yeah.
Captain Willard?
Yeah, who's that?
Lieutenant Carlson, sir. Get that light off me.
I was sent here from the Trang with these 3 days ago, sir. Expected you here a little sooner. This is mail for the boat. You don't know how happy this makes me, sir.
Why?
Now I can get out of here, if I can find a way.
You're in the asshole of the world, Captain!
The messenger scrambles away up the bank. Willard leaps ashore.
Captain, where are you going?
I gotta find somebody. I need some information. Pick me up the other side of the bridge.
Somebody go with him.
Yeah,
I'll go. I wanna go.
Lance scrambles off the boat into the darkness after Willard. Lance's eyes rove wildly, set in his green camouflaged face, as he picks his way through the wreckage towards the illuminated bridge. Fireball explosions erupt around the bridge. Willard stoops as he scans around sandbags atop trenches. Lance stands upright, gazing in awe, with the puppy in his jacket. Willard leaps down into a trench.
Come on, man, listen to the music, man.
You're not behind the CO.
You came right to it, son of a bitch.
Lance! Get down here!
Two GIs quake in the pit.
You still got a commanding officer here?
Beverly Hills.
What?
Straight up the road, there's a concrete fucking bunker called Beverly Hills. Where the fuck else do you think it would be?
Lance follows Willard along the trench, past a group of men squatting under fairy lights, who watch them pass with glassy-eyed stares. Willard stalks along the dugouts to a machine gun nest, where a young soldier feeds a belt of ammo into the gunner's weapon.
God damn it, you stepped in my face!
You thought you were dead?
You thought wrong, damn it!
Willard watches the gunners.
Why, I told you to stop fucking with me, didn't I? You think you're so bad, huh, nigga?
What are you shooting at, soldier?
What the fuck you think I'm shooting at? Sir?
I'm sorry, sir. There are groups out there by the wire. But I think I killed them all.
Oh, you ain't shot shit, man. Listen.
Oh, shit. He's trying to call his friends, man. Son of a flat.
Gawping, Lance rises and climbs out of the trench.
You so bad, huh, nigga? You think you bad, huh?
They're all dead, stupid. There's one still alive underneath their bodies.
Who's the commanding officer here?
Ain't you?
You think you're so bad, huh? I'm coming for your ass now, nigga! I'm coming for you now!
Lance gazes around at the lights and flames.
Bodies, man! Go get the roach, man. Go get the roach, nigga!
I'm gonna
go get the roach. Go get him.
The ammunition feeder scrambles along the line.
Roach! Roach! Roach!
Got slopes on the wire, man. You hear him?
Lance!
Do you hear him?
Lance climbs back down. Gaunt Roach emerges from a foxhole.
Well, bless him!
Hey, G.I., fuck you!
Roach turns off the tape and loads a grenade launcher.
You're
getting
out there
on the wire, man.
Yeah.
I kill you, G.I.
You need a flare?
He's close, man. He's real close.
Roach slips his left arm through the strap of the short, shotgun-like weapon with slow, graceful movements. He places the butt against his right shoulder, the wide barrel aimed up at 45 degrees.
Hey, soldier.
Roach turns towards Willard's face in the gloom, lit by the sweep of a searchlight.
Do you know who's in command here? Yeah.
A wry smile plays across Roach's mouth. He turns and creeps back to his foxhole. A burst of smoke billows from a bamboo tower near the boat.
Shit!
Wide-eyed, Miller moves back from the stern.
Chief, man, two guys just got blown off that bridge.
You hang on, man. You're gonna be okay.
Chef is sitting in the bow, rummaging through a sack.
What's that? Mail, man. I don't
later on the mail. Watch them trees.
Lance and Willard return with tins.
No diesel fuel, but I picked up some ammo. Let's move out.
Did you find the CO, Captain?
There's no fucking CO here. Let's just get going.
Which way, Captain?
You know which way, Chief.
You're on your own, Captain. Do you want to go on? Like this bridge, we build it every night. Charlie blows it right back up again, just so the generals can say the road's open. Think about it. Who cares?
Just get us upriver.
Chef, wonder about. Stand by, Clee.
Let's go!
Willard strips to the waist and gazes out at the tree line as the boat backs out from the bank. Explosions hit the bridge behind them, crashing parts of it into the water as the boat powers away. Pink targeting flares strike the black sky, while bright white phosphorescence smoulders around the remnants of the bridge towers. Day. Phillips' gunboat trundles between the dense vegetation on the narrow banks of the river. Chef hands out letters.
Shit, you got another one clean?
Oh, shit,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that it?
That's it for you. Lance? Mr. L.B. Johnson, there you go. Far out, man. All right, I've been waiting for this one. I got another one. Got a box from Eva. Lance, fine. I'm fine, yes. Sue and I would trip into Disneyland. Who's getting it?
Man, I want to get back to Antoine.
I remember the time. How could I fucking forget, man? Beautiful.
Man, you know, that's the best.
There could never be a place like Disneyland, or could there? Let me know. Jim? It's here. It really is here.
Willard opens a folder marked classified and reads a typed letter.
There has been a new development regarding your mission, which we must now communicate to you. Months ago, a man was ordered on a mission which was identical to yours. We have reason to believe that he is now operating with Colonel Kurtz. Saigon was carrying him MIA for his family's sake, but they assumed he was dead. Then they intercepted the letter he tried to send to his wife.
It reads, sell the house, car, kids, find someone else, never coming back.
Captain Richard Colby.
A photo of a gaunt young trooper.
He was with Kurtz.
Hey, look at this guy.
Disney. Fuck, man, this is better than Disneyland.
Family Charles Miller Manson ordered the slaughter of all in the home anyway as a symbol of protest.
That's really weird, ain't it? Purple Haze, look!
Miller plays a cassette.
I got a tape from my mom. Gee, Rainbow Reality, man. Hey, Gee, get a good whip.
Eva can't picture me in Vietnam. She pictures me at home having a beer watching TV.
So bad you decided to join the
Eva's not sure she can have a relationship with me, you know? Here I am 13,000 fucking miles away trying to keep a relationship with my ass.
That's much more than I can say for some of your friends. If this tape is any good, I will have Dad and the family send you a tape.
Hey, Lance!
Rockets streak from the jungle at the boat. Lance mans the front gun. As bullets ricochet and a hail of sparks off the armor plating on the side of the boat, Miller convulses wide-eyed. The boat rounds a bend. Phillips looks and sees Miller slumped in a pool of blood.
Chow! Chow! Check out Clean! Captain, he's it! He's it! Clean's it!
Lance! Where'd the dog go?
Lance leaps out of his gun nest.
Where's the dog? We gotta go back and get the dog!
Hey, Clean!
It's always been nice to have one.
Hey, Bubba! What? Bubba, you can't die, you fucker!
I've got one good week.
And hey,
so
Bubba!
I'm hoping pretty soon, not too soon, but pretty soon I'll have a lot of grandchildren to love and spoil. And then when your wife gets them back, she'll be mad with me. Ha ha ha. Even Aunt Jessie and Mama will come to celebrate your coming home. Granny and Dad are trying to get enough money to get you a car, but don't tell them, because that's our secret. Anyhow, do the right thing. Stay out of the way of the bullets and bring your honey home all in one piece, because we love you very much. Love, Mom.
Chef watches mournfully as Phillips crouches beside Miller's body, clutching Miller's hand in his own. The boat drones on upriver through yellow mist as darkness falls. The crew stare impassively as they pass flaming wreckage. Carrion crows scatter as the boat chugs into thick fog. Willard climbs atop the bridge, looking up at the tail fin of a jet fighter sticking up out of the dark water as the boat passes underneath. Thick white mist enshrouds the boat, swirling as the vessel passes through. Chef stands at the rear guns. Holding his rifle stripped to the waist, Willard watches. Willard squints ahead through the fog. Phillips.
Can't see nothing. We stopping.
You're not authorized to stop this boat, Chief.
I said I can't see a thing, Captain. I'm stopping this boat. I ain't risking no more lives.
I'm in command here, goddammit. You do what I say.
You see anything, Chef?
Why don't they fucking attack, man?
Lance howls as he stares through gaps in the mist at the jungle. Phillips veers the boat away from poles with strange crescent carvings that loom from the fog.
Watch it over here, Chief!
The mist clears. Willard scans the trees through narrowed eyes.
Lance, on the 50s.
He was close. He was real close.
Bodies lie at the water's edge.
I couldn't see him yet, but I could feel him. As if the boat were being sucked upriver and the water was flowing back into the jungle. Whatever was going to happen, it wasn't going to be the way they call it back in the Trang.
Willard ducks as a hail of arrows rains in from the left bank. Phillips revs the boat to full throttle. In the gun nest, Lance grins and snaps an arrow in half. Phillips grabs an M16 and lets go of the wheel, firing wildly. Willard revs the boat clear of the bank. A figure on shore hurls a spear. It strikes Phillips in the back, protruding from his chest. Wide-eyed, Phillips faces Willard, then looks down at the bloody spearhead jutting out just above his heart.
A spear.
Willard catches Phillips, cradling his fall. Willard lies Phillips on his back, then tenderly strokes his head. As Willard moves to kneel astride Phillips, the boat captain's eyes focus on him. Phillips grasps Willard's head, forcing it down towards the spear tip. Willard slams his palm over Phillips' face, forcing his head backwards, straining. Phillips' arms drop away. Phillips' head lolls back. Purple smoke shrouds the boat moored in the shallows. Orange sunlight reflects in an arc off the still water as Lance, with the broken arrow stuck either side of his head, draws markings tenderly on Phillips' forehead. He kisses Phillips' head. As Lance lifts Phillips down into the water and carries him out into the river, Willard briefs Chef on the riverbank.
My mission is to make it up into Cambodia. There's a Green Beret colonel up there who's gone insane. I'm supposed to kill him.
That's fucking typical! Shit! Fucking Vietnam mission! I'm short and we gotta go up there so you can kill one of our own guys? That's fucking great! That's just fucking great, man! Shit! That's fucking crazy! I mean, I thought you were going in to blow up a bridge! Or some fucking railroad tracks or something!
Sorry.
No, wait! Wait, we'll go together! On the boat. We'll go with you. We'll go up there, but on the boat. Okay?
Lance pushes Phillips' body out into the deep water, then wades back to the boat. Phillips' face sinks below the surface. Willard gazes out from the bow as the boat passes blazing bamboo huts in the night. Lance and Chef stare out at lanterns and strange crucifixes against the glow. As dawn breaks, the boat drifts into shallower water, past shrines with crescent shapes. Bodies dangle from bamboo poles, some decapitated. Clusters of severed heads on bamboo spikes and sun-blanched skulls line the banks. Willard tears up the dossier, tossing the pages into the water.
Part of me was afraid of what I would find and what I would do when I got there. I knew the risks. Or imagined I knew. But the thing I felt the most, much stronger than fear, was the desire to confront him.
The river narrows and flows through a deep ravine, sheer cliffs on both sides topped with trees. Willard balances on the prow, contorting in his Tai Chi movements in the glowing orange light. As the boat emerges from the ravine into a wider stretch of river with lower banks, it fades into the stone faces of the ancient temple. Willard stands on deck, peering through binoculars, while Chef steers the boat slowly.
Just keep moving. Lance, keep your hands away from the guns.
Willard clambers atop the bridge canopy. Ahead, rows of long native dugout canoes block the entrance to a river lagoon. Naked figures, clad only in loincloths and smeared in bright white chalky paint, stand upright in the canoes, staring as the boat approaches. Figures on the shore stare impassively. Canoes part as the boat chugs through their blockade, closing rank behind it once it has passed. Willard looks down at the faces of the ghostly figures in the dugouts, some are Vietnamese, some American. The boat steers towards wide stone steps leading up from the river's edge towards a temple. A scruffy bearded man with cameras around his neck stands amid a crowd of wild-looking men and women.
It's all right! It's all right! It's all been approved!
I ain't coming in there! Them bastards attacked us!
Stop them with your siren, man! Stop them with your siren!
The photographer hurries down the steps as the natives scurry up to the temple.
There's mines over there! Mines over there, too! And watch out! Those goddamn monkeys bite you, I'll tell you. Ah, that's a pretty one. Move it right in toward me. I'm an American! Yeah! American civilian. Hi, Yanks. Hi. American. American civilian. It's all right. And you got the cigarettes, and that's what I've been dreaming of.
Chef. Who are you? Mm.
Who are you? I'm a photojournalist. I've covered the war since 64. I've been in Laos, Cambodia, Nam. Hooey. Hooey, baby. I'll tell you one thing. This boat is a mess, man. Woo. Mm-hmm.
Who are all these people?
Yeah, well, they think you've come to take him away. And I hope that isn't true.
Take who away?
Him. Colonel Kurtz. These are all his children, man, as far as you can see. Hell, man, out here, we're all his children.
Could we, talk to Colonel Kurtz?
Hey, man, you don't talk to the Colonel, well, you listen to him. The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior, in the classic sense. I mean, sometimes he'll, you'll say hello to him, right? And he'll just walk right by you, and he won't even notice you. And then suddenly he'll grab you, and he'll throw you in a corner, and he'll say, do you know that if is the middle word in life? If you can keep your head when all about you losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you. I mean, I know, I can't, I'm a little man. He's a great man. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across floors of silent seas. I mean...
Stay with the boat.
Don't go without me, okay? I want to get a picture.
The photographer hurries ahead up the steps.
He can be terrible, and he can be mean, and he can be right. He's fighting a war. He's a great man. I mean, I wish I had words, you know. I wish I had words. I can tell you something like the other day, he wanted to kill me. Something like that.
Why do you want to kill you?
Because I took his picture. He said if you take my picture again, I'm going to kill you. And he meant it. See, just lay cool. Lay cool. Lay back. Dig it. He gets friendly again. He really does. But you don't judge a colonel. You don't judge a colonel like an ordinary man.
Semi-naked bodies dangle from trees. Others lie sprawled around the temple steps.
Okay, watch it now. These are Americans. Americans! You feel the vibe of this place. Let me take a picture. Hey, could you hold... Hey, hello? Hello? Could you hold it for a minute?
Willard stands dumbstruck before a group of men, women, and children. The men clutch M16s, dressed in camo fatigues, some Vietnamese, some American. At the center of the group stands a tall, gaunt white man. Willard walks closer to face him.
Colby.
Colby's wild eyes stare out from a painted face and shaggy beard. He wears his paratrooper's black beret. A scalp of long hair hangs from the barrel of his gun. Severed heads lie strewn on the temple steps.
The heads. You're looking at the heads. Sometimes he goes too far, you know. He's the first one to admit it.
He's going crazy.
Wrong. If you could have heard the man just 2 days ago, if you could have heard a man, God, you were going to call him crazy?
Fucking A. I just want to talk to him.
Well, man, he's gone away. He's gone away. He disappeared out in the jungle with his people.
I'll wait
for
him.
He feels comfortable with his people. He forgets himself with his people. He forgets himself.
Captain, maybe we should wait back at the boat.
I think...
Okay, Chef. We'll go back to the boat for a while.
Yeah. Stay with Lance.
Chef turns back towards the river. Willard studies an ancient column of carved rock beside the temple. Lance watches a body hacked down into the river, Chef and Willard below deck.
This Colonel guy, he's wacko, man. He's worse than crazy, he's evil. I mean, that's what the man's got set up here. Man is fucking pagan idolatry. Look around you. Shit, he's loco.
Then you help me.
Help you? Fucking A, I'll help you. I'll do anything to get out of this joint.
Good boy.
We could blow all them assholes away. They're so fucking spaced out, they wouldn't even know it. Well, I ain't afraid of all them fucking skulls and altars and shit. I used to think if I died in an evil place, then my soul wouldn't be able to make it to heaven. But now, fuck. I mean, I don't care where it goes as long as it ain't here. So what do you want to do? I'll kill the fuck.
No, no.
Get out of here.
I'm going to need you to wait here, Chef. I'll go up with Lance, scrounge around, check the place out, see if I can find the Colonel. Okay?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Damn it. Right. Here, take the radio. And if I don't get back by 2200 hours, you'll call in the airstrike.
Airstrike.
The code is Almighty, coordinates 09 or 2 64712. It's all in there.
2 6 4 7 1 2.
Lance has a rifle hung over his shoulder as he trudges behind Willard through the rain.
Everything I saw told me that Kurtz had gone insane.
Lance turns to face a string of armed Vietnamese close behind.
The place was full of bodies. North Vietnamese, Viet Cong, Cambodians.
More bedraggled men amble in from all sides, eyeing Willard with wary interest.
If I was still alive, it was because he wanted me that way.
The crowd of men close in around Willard, reaching out, seizing hold. The throng turn Willard upside down. He writhes as his face presses into the mud. Lance stands at the edge of the crowd, looking on with a grin. Disheveled, Willard is led into the gloomy temple.
It smelled like slow death in there. Malaria. Nightmares. This was the end of the river, all right.
A guard points his machine gun for Willard to kneel.
Where are you from, Willard?
Willard looks towards a recess in the stone wall containing a bed.
I'm from Ohio, sir.
Were you born there?
Yes, sir.
Whereabouts?
Toledo, sir.
A hefty bald figure rises from lying on his back.
How far are you from the river?
Kurtz's face is hidden in shadow, an arc of amber light illuminating the back of his head like a crescent moon.
The Ohio River, sir?
Uh-huh.
About 200 miles.
I went down that river once when I was a kid. There's a place in the river I can't remember. Must have been a gardenia plantation or a flower plantation at one time. It's all wild and overgrown now, but for about 5 miles, you'd think that heaven just fell on the earth in the form of gardenias.
Willard, on his knees in profile to the bunk, looks at Kurt sidelong. Kurt sits and leans forward over a bowl.
Have you ever considered any real freedoms? Freedoms from the opinion of others? Even the opinions of yourself?
Kurtz dunks a rag into the bowl, holds it above his head, and squeezes water out over his shaven scalp. He lifts water in his cupped hands to his face.
They say why. Well, why they want to terminate my command.
Kurtz's eyes blaze in the firelight as he raises his face and moves forward from the shadows to fix Willard with a piercing stare. Willard slowly turns his gaze away to look at the floor.
I was sent on a classified mission, sir.
No longer classified.
Looking down once more, Kurtz moves his thick fingers up over the droplets on his bald head.
Did they tell you?
They told me that you had gone totally insane.
Kurt's fingers clench into a fist.
And that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method. At all.
I expected someone like you. What did you expect?
Willard shakes his head faintly, looking away. Kurt's eyes, Willard, head tilted forward in a shaft of light.
Are you an assassin?
I'm a soldier.
You're neither. You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks to collect a bill.
A scorching jet from a flamethrower surges down from the path to the temple. The photojournalist, cameras swinging around his neck, passes crucified corpses as he climbs the steps. At the top, three figures are slumped upright against the bamboo bars of narrow cages. Confined at the center is Willard. Willard laps through his cage as the photographer scoops water and pours it into Willard's mouth.
Why? Huh? Why would a nice guy like you want to kill a genius? Going in pretty good, huh? Why? You know? Do you know the demand? man really likes you?
The photographer places his cigarette between Willard's lips.
He likes you. He really likes you. But he's got something in mind for you. Aren't you curious about that? I'm curious. I'm very curious. Are you curious? There's something happening out here, man.
The photojournalist moves around the back of the cage behind Willard.
You know something, man? I know something that you don't know. That's right, Jack. The man is clear in his mind, but his soul is mad. Oh, yeah. He's dying, I think. He hates all this. He hates it. But the man's, he reads poetry out loud, all right? And a voice. A voice. He likes you because you're still alive. He's got plans for you. Nana, I'm not going to help you. You're going to help him, man. You're going to help him. I mean, what are they going to say, man, when he's gone, huh? Because he dies when it dies, man. When it dies, he dies. What are they going to say about him? What are they going to say? He was a kind man. He was a wise man. He had plans. He had wisdom. Bullshit, man. Am I going to be the one that's going to set them straight? Look at me wrong.
The photographer jabs his finger at Willard.
You. Almost 8 hours. I'm asleep. I've been dreaming. I'm on this shitty boat.
Chef lies under a tarpaulin in the rain at the back of the boat. He flings back the cover and clambers into the small area below the bridge.
Fuck. Has it been 8 hours?
Hello, almighty, almighty. This is PBR Street Gang. Radio check, over.
PBR Street Gang, this is Almighty, standing by, over.
Night. Rain pounds the ground around Kurtz's boots as he walks slowly towards Willard, who is now lashed outside the bamboo in a sitting position, a thin cord around his neck. Willard's head rolls round to face Kurtz, his eyes staring up at the colonel from beneath the fringe of his muddy hair. Kurtz, his face now painted with a swirling pattern of camouflage green and black, sinks to his knees before Willard, his eyes staring and unblinking, his mouth downturned like a miserable clown. They lock a glare, Kurtz tilting his head back and flaring his nostrils. Water trickling down his face, Kurtz rises once more and paces around behind the bamboo cage. A green hand reaches around and dumps Chef's severed head into Willard's lap. Willard screws his eyes shut and grimaces as he convulses to shake the head away into the mud. Dawn breaks over the ridge beyond the river lagoon, flooding the jungle temple with light. Black smoke billows up from the smouldering fires around the encampment. Unconscious, bloodied and smeared with filth, Willard is carried along the gloomy temple corridors and laid on a bed beside Kurtz's chamber. The armed men who carried Willard back away to allow a young woman to nurse him. She scoops water up and holds it to Willard's lips. A hand cupped behind Willard's head lifts him towards a spoon filled with rice that the nurse holds towards her patient's mouth. Willard shakes his head weakly. Willard turns his head slowly towards the dark chamber beside the alcove where he lies. A smoky shaft of light cuts through the gloom, illuminating Kurtz's bald head and glowering face. The smoke swirls as Kurtz moves away. The nurse dabs sweat from Willard's face. He swallows as he gazes up at her. Down the corridor, a fresh-faced girl sits in tribal garb, clutching her knees to her chest. She turns her solemn face towards Willard. A guard cradles a machine gun as he leans against a wall. Kurt sits, facing the sun. Weathered faces carved into the stones of the temple wall look on. On his bed, Willard smokes. Kurt sits in his chamber. He snatches at a fly that buzzes around and lands on the floor. He reads aloud from a book while the photojournalist crouches close to Willard's face.
We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless as wind and dry grass. A rat's feet.
Oh, he's out there.
Glass in our dry cellar.
He's really out there.
Shape without form. Shade without color. Paralyzed force. Gesture without motion.
Do you know what the man's saying? Do you?
Those who have crossed with direct eyes.
This is dialectics. It's very simple dialectics. 1 through 9. No maybes, no supposes, no fractions. You can't travel in space. You can't go out into space, you know, without, like, you know, with fractions. What are you going to land on? 1/4, 3/8? What are you going to do when you go from here to Venus or something? That's dialectic physics, okay? Dialectic logic is there's only love and hate. You either love somebody or you hate them.
Kurtz hurls his book at the photographer.
Is the way the fucking world ends. Look at this fucking shit we're in, man. Not with a bang. Whimper, and with a whimper, I'm fucking splitting, Jack.
Watching Kurtz warily out of the corner of his eye, the photographer grabs his bag and scurries off down the hall. Willard turns to meet Kurtz's lowering look. Kurtz begins to read another text. Willard eyes Kurt's beret with its airborne insignia and his khaki combat jacket hanging below, the name Kurtz on the breast badge.
On the river, I thought that the minute I looked at him, I'd know what to do. But it didn't happen. I was in there with him for days, not under guard. I was free. But he knew I wasn't going anywhere. He knew more about what I was going to do than I did.
Willard lifts the lid of a small jewelry case, revealing medals and a signet ring.
If the generals back in the Trang could see what I saw, would they still want me to kill him? More than ever, probably. And what would his people back home want if they ever learned just how far from them he'd really gone? He broke from them. And then he broke from himself. I'd never seen a man so broken up and ripped apart.
I've seen horrors. Horrors that you've seen. But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that. But you have no right to judge me. It's impossible through words to describe what is necessary to those who do not know what horror means. Horror. face. And you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. They are truly enemies.
Willard sits motionless. Down the hall, a figure does Tai Chi.
I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems 1,000 centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children for polio. And this old man came running after us and he was crying. He couldn't see. We went back there and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. Pile of little arms. And I remember I cried, I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot, like I was shot with a diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that, the genius, the will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. Then I realized they were stronger than we because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they had the strength to do that. If I had 10 divisions, of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral and at the same time who are able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion. Without judgment.
Kurtz looks up into the darkness, his blue eyes wide.
Because it's judgment that defeats us.
Kurtz's eyes rove after a fly that darts around his face. Willard eyes Kurtz, listening intently.
I worry that my son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw. Because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies.
Kurtz ushers a bullock from the temple.
And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Women and men in tribal skirts and cloaks dance in rhythmic lines as the bullock is led into a crowd. The priest hops and jigs towards the bullock in the firelight with a white cockerel on his shoulder. Little children gather around Lance, who's naked but for a loincloth. Lance smiles. A grey-haired man kills the cockerel. Two rows of tribal warriors brandishing shields and spears chant as they edge towards each end of the passive bullock, which is decorated with braid. Lance jigs slowly into the ceremonial arena. Willard lies alone in the boat.
PBR Street Gang, this is Almighty. Standing by, over. PBR Street Gang, this is Almighty. Standing by, how do you copy?
Willard turns on all fours, clutching a Bowie knife.
They were gonna make me a major for this. And I wasn't even in their fucking army anymore. Everybody wanted me to do it. Him most of all. I felt like he was up there, waiting for me to take the pain away. He just wanted to go out like a soldier, standing up. Not like some poor, wasted, rag-assed renegade. Even the jungle wanted him dead. And that's who he really took his orders from, anyway.
Lance stands by the bullock, gently pouring blood and tenderly smearing it across the beast's head. Willard surfaces from the brown river water and rises. The bullock is tethered to a stake at the center of the ceremonial circle, silhouetted against the fires inside the temple. Kurtz turns inside. Rain falls through the smoke as Willard squats on the temple steps. He rises in lightning, clutching a machete.
Come on, baby, take a chance with us.
The machete's curved blade is on a long stick.
Come on, baby, take a chance with us.
White flashes of lightning show Willard's staccato movements to the temple mouth.
Come on, baby, take a chance with us and meet me at the back of the blue bus, Duna, blue rock on a blue bus, Duna, Duna, come on, yeah.
Willard slashes the guard's throat. Kurtz is reading.
We train young men to drop fire on people, but their commanders won't allow them to write fuck on their aeroplane because it's obscene.
The nurse watches Willard pass. Wild-eyed, he stalks across the chamber towards Kurtz, who sits reading from a typed sheet of paper by firelight into a microphone. Kurtz turns slowly towards Willard. Willard strikes. Kurtz tumbles forward, staggering across his chamber, and stands to face Willard. Outside in the ceremony, men wielding machetes hack the bullock where it stands. It slumps to its knees. Kurtz stands before Willard in the gloom. Willard swings his blade, butchering the colonel as he stands. Kurtz slumps bloodied to the temple floor. The bullock writhes, eyes wide, its back and neck gashed wide open. Willard stops his strokes. Kurtz lies looking up at the temple ceiling, his face spattered red. Willard crouches, screwing his eyes shut and pressing his hands to his temples. Willard opens his eyes and looks at Kurt's limp hand on the stones. Looking on, the young woman crouches, bowing her head. Outside, the tribesmen smile as they carve up the bullock's carcass, passing lumps of flesh into the crowd. In the temple, Willard staggers across Kurtz's chamber. He leans against the wall, his chest heaving and covered with gore. The whites of his eyes stand out against the dark green paint on his face. Glancing around furtively, Willard trudges towards Kurtz's low table where Kurtz had sat reading into his microphone. He passes an opening in the stone wall where the ceremony continues outside. Willard stands over a typed manuscript beside a typewriter, flicking through the pages with his bloodied fingers. On one page written in red, "Drop the bomb, exterminate them all." Willard bows his head and sinks down onto Kurtz's low stool before the flickering candles on the desk. Willard leans half of his face out of the shadows. The ceremonial crowd has turned to face the temple in silence, the closest faces peering in. Edges forward from the gloom to the temple mouth, emerging atop the steps, smeared in blood, his machete in one hand, Kurtz's manuscript in the other. The crowd edge backwards. Willard's glaring, steely eyes rove across the throng below as the crowd bow their heads and begin to kneel, rippling back from those closest to the furthest away by the riverbank. Willard looks down at his feet, then takes a step forward down the steps along the path cleared for him by the worshippers. Eyeing the warriors, he flings down his machete. Kurtz's men follow suit, laying down their guns. The crowd rise to their feet and drop their weapons on the ground as Willard passes. As Willard walks slowly through the crowd towards the river, he sees Lance amid the crowd of Vietnamese, his tall blonde frame towering above them, his face smeared red. Willard steps into the onlookers and takes Lance by the hand, leading him away towards the boat. The crowd cluster on the steps to the river as the boat chugs away. Lance gazes up at the rain, blinking as it falls, washing the blood off his face. Willard steers the boat around in the lagoon, facing it downriver. Mist swirls around the boat, fading into ghostly images of fire and helicopters, while Willard's face, painted green and black and glistening with sweat, stares ahead. Willard's steely grey eye stares as he tilts his head to one side, bringing his profile into line with the face of the stone temple carving. Audio description by Deluxe.